Psalms 136. We'll begin in verse number 1. Psalms 136 and verse number 1. Watch this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And then it says, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. By the way, that's the same person, all right? For his mercy endureth. Hey, by the way, we're going to learn same person, but different name. Same person, but different name. Then verse number 3, oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Then if you jump all the way down to the last verse in the psalm, it says, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. And so I want to do a Bible study on this tonight, and this is how I'm entitling it, Thank God for God. Thank God for God. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would be magnified tonight, and Lord, that you'd be high and lifted up. And Lord, there's a lot of things we can be thankful for, but Lord, maybe the most important thing to remember to be thankful for is to be thankful for you. And so, Lord, we're going to look at just four of the many titles, Lord, and these four connected to this idea of giving thanks. I pray that you'll help us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And then, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Then, oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. Then, oh, give thanks unto the Lord of heaven. I got to thinking about this, and we thank the Lord for a lot of things, a lot of things. Most of the time when we're thanking God for something, we're thanking God for something that he's done for us or something that he has given us. And that's what we tend to do with people also. You know, somebody will do something for us, so we'll say, thank you for doing that for me. Somebody will give me something. I'll write a note and say, thank you for that gift. But you know what? It's kind of nice every once in a while to have not done something for someone or not given them something, and have them come to you not saying, thank you for what you did for me or thank you for what you gave me, but thank you for being you. Thank you for just being you. And I think that that's the theme of this psalm, is that David is not taking the time here to thank the Lord for some of the things that he's been given by God or some of the mighty works or gifts that he's given him. He just says, Lord, I just want to write a psalm, and I just want to say thank you for you. Thank you for you. And he uses four different titles of God in this psalm, and that's what we're going to direct our attention to. Verse number 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. If you look at that word and you do the word study on it, the original Hebrew word is the word Jehovah, and that's what got, the title there. We're familiar with that. We've heard the word Jehovah. That's one of the titles that God has given to himself. The word Jehovah, the name Jehovah, means the self-existent one or the eternal one, the eternal one. Self-existent or eternal. That means without beginning and without end. I remember the day, one of the best moments, one of the cutest stories. I love our bus kids. I love children in church. I love when they're listening. I love when they come with a question. But I'll never forget, a few years back, a little girl stopped me at the back door, and she said, I have a question for you. And I said, yes, and I knelt down, and she said, I learned today that God made us, but I have a question for you. Who made God? Who made God? And I love the fact that she was listening. And you know what I got to do? I got to get down on my knees, that little girl, and try to explain something that I'm not sure even the most mature and intelligent of our minds can comprehend. And that's the fact that God had no beginning and God will never have an end. He's Jehovah. He's the self-existent one. He's the eternal one. I want to thank God for being Jehovah. I want to thank God for being self-existent. I want to thank God for being eternal. I just want to say this. I'm glad that our Creator did not have to have a creator. I'm glad that the Bible starts with this statement, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. That's it. There's no book that needed to explain that preceded Genesis 1:1. There's no explanation. There's not several chapters trying to convince or argue us into believing in God. He just announces that, you know what, I'm here. I'm in the beginning. Preacher, how did God introduce himself to mankind? Well, I'm going to have you listen in. When he came to Abraham, he said this, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. And then he says these two words, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And in Genesis 15:7, and he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. In Genesis 17:1, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am the Almighty God. You know what? There it is. I am. How about Abraham? Isaac, same thing. He appears to Isaac in Genesis 26:24, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham. I am. He loves that. What is that word, preacher? What does that mean? That's the word the root word for Jehovah, where we get Jehovah. It's Hayah. He says, I am, or Hayah. It simply means I am, I exist. Then he introduces himself to Jacob in Genesis 28. In verse number 10, Jacob went out of Beersheba, went towards Haran. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place. You remember this, he has that dream. And a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord, that's Jehovah, stood above it and said, I am the God, Lord God of Abraham, thy father. Folks, listen to me. God didn't need me to exist, and he don't need you to exist. You know, he was long before any of us came along, and he's going to be here to the ends of eternity. And so that's how he introduces himself in the Old Testament. He comes to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. You know, he was arguing and fussing with God. You know what? I'm going to go to see the children of Israel, and they're not going to, who do I even tell them sent me? And he says, I am that I am. I am that I am. Jesus, and I mean, God was the self-existent one and the eternal one. You say, preacher, was Jesus God? Well, I want to say this clear and plain so that you never have any doubt about that. Jesus is not only the Son of God, but God the Son. Jesus is as much I am as the Father is, and I am. And we see that in John chapter 18. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. I like that. By the way, yeah, once they get back up, he said, now who are you looking for again? And I think they went a little more on Jesus of Nazareth. And then, you know what? Listen, let me tell you what Jesus was explaining to them in that answer. You know what he did? He said one word. That's that I am he is one word. And you know what he said? He said, I me. That's the Greek. I me. That's all he said. One word. I me. And you know what? They fell backwards. And what he was saying was this. I just want to give you a little reminder. Nobody's going to kill me. And nobody's going to take my life. I'm laying it down willingly. You know, we read and we sing, he could have called 10,000 angels. And he could have. But let me say this. He didn't need them. He could have taken care of the situation just fine all by himself. Folks, I want to just say this tonight. Let's take tomorrow and be glad that God is the self-existent one, that he's the Ha-Yah, that he's the I-Me, that he is the great I Am. He's the beginning. He's the end. Four times in the book of the Revelation, our lovely Savior introduces himself as the first and last, beginning and end, by referencing the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. Revelations 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. And the end, saith the Lord, which is and was and which is to come, the Almighty. Again in chapter 1, verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. How about Revelation 21:6? And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Revelations 22:13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Oh, give thanks Let's, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. What is that saying? Oh, give thanks unto Jehovah for being the self-existent one, the eternal one, the I am, he who inhabits eternity, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. And that's my God, and I'm thankful for him. Then we get into verse 2, and it says, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. By the way, the God there, the first one's a capitalized God. How about that? It's a singular capitalized God. Then we have this group of little g gods, okay? And God says in the Bible that he is God of little g God. Now, the first word was Jehovah. This word we find here, God of gods, is Elohim. And the word Elohim there means the supreme God or the supreme ruler. The supreme God or the supreme ruler. And I want you to look at that phrase. Have you got it in front of you there? I want you to look at that phrase. And I want to challenge you on this regard. Say, preacher, would God declare himself the God of little g gods if there was no such thing as little g gods? No. If he said that there are little g gods, then there's little g gods. You say, who are these little g gods? These are the lesser entities who desire dominion and worship. And by the way, their leader is an angel, a created angel by the name of Lucifer. We read about him in Isaiah chapter 14, where it says, thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. You know what? All of a sudden, he decided he wanted to be a little g god. I will exalt my throne above the stars of capital G God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the most capital H high, and yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. He decided he wanted to be up with the big G God, and you know what he ended up doing? Being cast out of heaven, put down on earth here. But he didn't leave this earth by himself. It says in Revelation chapter number 12, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven to cast them to the earth. Now, what happened? Folks, listen to me. These little g gods exist. Who are the little g gods? You see, ever wonder why? Well, we studied this group of people, and you know what? They worship this little g god, and this group of people worship this little g god. Say, preacher, do you think those things, little g gods, actually exist? Of course I do. You know what? The devil's come down to this earth, and his number one desire is to be worshiped like God. It's, as a matter of fact, when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he takes him up into exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said, all these things will I give thee. What's the stipulation? If thou wilt fall down and worship me. Because the little g god Lucifer wants to be worshiped like the big g god Jehovah God, the Elohim, the supreme God, the supreme ruler. And you know what Jesus said? Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So we have Lucifer, and we have all of these demonic beings, this third part. And by the way, folks, I believe the devil, he's not omnipresent. He's divvied this thing up and divided it up. We read about that, and I wish I could do a whole study with you on this, but we have in the past, Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. His might. You know why? Because he's the supreme God. He's the supreme ruler. Put on the whole armor of capital G God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the little d devil. All right. Now watch this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, here's the words, principalities, against powers, against the rulers, little r rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in little h high places. So what did these demonic beings do? They scattered all over the earth. Satan, Lucifer, is not omnipresent, and so he can't be everywhere. So all of these devils that follow the devil wants to be like they all left for the same reason. They were tired of worshiping God, and they wanted to be worshiped as a God. And by the way, study the scripture. Don't think that these fallen angels, and don't think Lucifer does not have some power and are even capable of producing some miracles. And so you know what? These
cultures and these people groups that have walked away from the true God, there's something inside of every man that's been put inside of us that knows that there's something bigger than us that we ought to worship. And these little g gods are scattered all over the earth, more than happy to try to get them to worship them. That's why we spend so much money, folks, over $100,000 last year sending it to the mission field. You know why? Because these folks that are trapped in worshiping a little g god needs to be introduced to Elohim, the supreme God, the supreme ruler of the universe and the supreme ruler of these little g gods. You say, preacher, the Bible describes them as principalities and powers and rulers and spiritual wickedness. Now, how do these little wannabe little g gods fare when they are confronted with the true God? Well, Jesus Christ came down to earth, and you know what? He was the Son of God and God the Son, and he was even clothed in the flesh. He didn't even come down in all of his outward power. But isn't it interesting that when a demon-possessed man was confronted by Jesus Christ, that man who'd been tormented by these devils saw Jesus afar off and he ran and worshiped and ran and fell down at the feet of Jesus. He knew there was somebody that could deliver him from what had captured his life and captured his soul. And it cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee? Here's what a little g god is reduced to when they come to the God of the little g gods, the supreme ruler of the universe. This is what he said. He said, what have I to do with thee? Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. You know why? Because he done run into the capital G, God of gods, God of gods. And then he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? By the way, very interesting. You think this was a weak God? You think a little G God? You think this was a weak demon? Watch this. What is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought, which means to beg. This Legion begged Jesus, besought him that he would not send him away out of the country. He looked at some, you know what he was afraid of? He was afraid that Jesus with one word was going to send him to the abyss and send him right down to the pit of hell. And he was begging to be put into some swine because he knew Jesus had the power to do it. His name was Legion, the Bible said. My name is capital L, Legion. Now think about that. What is a legion? Well, it's a troop of soldiers. And by the way, if you could do a study on this, try to figure out how many soldiers are in a legion. Well, in Augustus's day, a legion referred to 6,100 footmen and 726 horsemen. Okay, that was in his day. But most agree that a legion of soldiers, it wasn't necessarily a set number, but usually referred to about 6,000 men. So let's take that on. Okay, this is some little minor devil. This is a devil that was powerful enough to be a leader of 6,000 other devils that wanted to be worshipped just as bad as he did. So this isn't a minor player. Now think about that. So here's one of the principalities, one of the fallen angels who's exerted power and dominion over 6,000 other devils. And he is confronted by Jesus, the Son of God, clothed in the flesh. And he's begging not to be tormented and begging not to be sent by one spoken word into the abyss of hell. And I'm here to say tonight, thank God for God. Thank God for God. You see, God rules over those who wish to rule. And God dominates those who wish dominion. And God is master of those who would seek mastery. And I'm glad to be able to report to you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So thank God that he is Jehovah. And thank God that he is Elohim, the supreme ruler, the God of the little g gods. Well, let's look at verse number 3. Oh, give thanks unto, what's this? The Lord of Lords, the Lord of Lords. Now, that word is the word Adon, or the name Adon, and it means the controller or the sovereign one. Okay, now think about that. The controller or the sovereign one. If there is in verse number 2 a capital G God and little g gods, and we've identified who the little g gods is, then if God is the capital L Lord, is there little l lords? Would God have said that he's the Lord of lords if there weren't little l lords? Well, there are. There's little l lords. Who are these lesser lords? You see, God is the Lord of lords, and so there are lesser lords. Who are they? Are they these fallen angels? Are these some type of demonic power? No, folks, let me tell you exactly who they are. They are men who wish to control. You see, God is the controller, the sovereign one, but there's always been and always will be men that rise up and want to be a little L Lord. They don't want the big L Lord bossing them around. They don't want the big L Lord ruling and reigning. They want to create a kingdom and be a little L Lord, and some of them accomplish it for a short time. They're men who wish to control, men who wish to dictate the fate of the lives of those around them, men who seek greatness of power and stature and claim titles that is reserved only for Adon, the Lord of lords. Say, preacher, why is there a gap between verse number 3 and then we go all the way to the end, verse number 4? Because he's dealing with the little L lords. Between the, look at it. I mean, this is so neat the way it comes out. You know what? First of all, we start out verse number 4 being reminded of who created this world and who spoke the worlds into existence and who created the planets and the lights and the sun to rule by day, verse 8, and the moon and the stars, verse 9. But notice what it gets into pretty quickly. Verse 10, to him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, and for his mercy endure forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endure forever, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endure forever. That's good. I'm glad they put that in there. It ought to be in every verse. Amen. To him that divideth the Red Sea and departs, for his mercy endure forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. Why do you have to do all of these things? Look at the next verse, verse 15. But overthrew a little L Lord, a little L Lord, who decided, you know what, Moses, you can just go and march on in here and demand all you want to. Who's this God? I don't know who you're talking about. I got a bunch of gods myself, and I got a bunch of priests myself, and I can do some magic tricks too. And God looked down from heaven and said, listen, you little L Lord, you're about to have a confrontation with the capital L Lord. I'm going to show you that I am the Lord of lords. And that's what it's talking. He overthrew him in the midst of the Red Sea. Then we go down, look at verse number 18, and slew famous kings. What is that? Whole bunch of little L lords. Some of them that we don't even have the name. God didn't even think they were worth putting their name in there. But boy, they thought they were big stuff. But he's the capital L Lord of lords. He does name a couple. Shihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endure forever. What did he do? Slew him. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endure forever. And gave their land for an heritage. See, here's these men, the Canaanite kings, that said to themselves, we're the rulers of this land. And God said, I've already had that land picked out a long time ago, and I'm going to use it for a different purpose. That's holy ground. You just don't know it yet. But you know what? Here comes my people, and I just slew Pharaoh to bring them to you, and I'm going to slay you all because you know what? You're just little L lords. You're just here for a little while. Isn't it interesting to watch even in our day and age these little L lords, these little L politicians, these little L kings, you know, that crazy man that's spouting his mouth over in North Korea. You know, well, who is he, preacher? Oh, my goodness, what's going to happen with North Korea? And, oh, I don't know, I don't know what we're going to do. And, oh, my goodness sake, stop tweeting Trump. Stop, we're going to get us in trouble. Listen, God's looking down from heaven, and he hears that man with the bad haircut all mouthing off over North Korea. And God's like, listen, you little L Lord. I mean, your life is hanging by a thread in my hand. Anytime I want to, I can let go and you're going to burn in hell. Listen, folks, stop letting men terrify you. Oh, but these group are coming into power. That group's coming into power. And oh, my goodness, 8 years of Obama and America will never be the same. You know what he was? It's a little L Lord. He's just a shooting star. He's just a firework that exploded and burnt out. Now the ashes are falling to the ground. Folks, listen to me. There's only one Lord of lords. Go if you will. You want to have fun? Go if you will to Daniel chapter number 4. Let's go over there and look at a Lord of lords. A little L Lord, and his his remarkable arrogancy. And you know what? God just said, every once in a while in the Bible, just takes a chapter and says, you know what? Every once in a while, one of these little lords. And by the way, God allows them to rise into power. And God uses them like little pieces on his chessboard. And you know what? Israel did need to be punished, and Israel did need to be taken into captivity. So God uses the little L lord of Nebuchadnezzar to do that. But then he looks down at Nebuchadnezzar and says, now you just better watch it, son, because those aren't my people. And don't get too big for your britches. But you know what? Nebuchadnezzar got the point. He thought he was really something. In Daniel chapter number four, we read about Nebuchadnezzar, and he has this dream. He begins to tell about it in verse number 4 of chapter 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house, flourishing in my palace. At rest in my house, flirt. Hey, there he is, little L lords. He's got it under control. He got everything. But I saw a dream which made me afraid. The thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me. They might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans. Here the little L lords bringing in the representatives of the little G gods to come in there and explain what's going on. I told the dream before that he did not make known unto me the interpretation. But at the last, Daniel came. By the way, he's a man of capital G God. He's a man of God. He came before him whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians. You know what? He's given Daniel all the wrong credit to the wrong little g gods for his powers. But I promise you, by the end of this chapter, God's going to straighten that out. He's going to straighten his, he's going to change his mind. O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head and my bed. I saw, I love that head in my bed thing, head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth. Here's the dream. I saw this tree in the midst of the earth. The height thereof was great. Tree grew and was strong. And the height thereof reached into heaven, the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves therefore were fair, and the fruit thereof much. And in it was meat for all, and the beast of the field had shadow under it. Fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. You know what that is? That's the ascension of a little L lord. And I saw in the visions of my, verse 13, here it is again, head upon my bed. And behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. Uh-oh. That's a representative of the big L Lord, okay? He cried aloud and said, hew down the tree. And by the way, every one of these little miniature dictators, and sometimes they're in small communities and you give them a little power and they think they own the county, or sometimes they get into the state house and they get a big head and they think that they're masters of the state, or God forbid they get in the White House and they get an arrogance to them. And you know what? There's going to be a day where God just lets them do their thing for a while, and then he's going to get an angel and he's going to say, go announce it's time to hew down that tree. Let's hew that tree down. He cried aloud and thus said, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beasts get away from under and the fowls from the branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of the roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts and the grass of the earth. And you know what? He's telling this dream, and he doesn't even understand that this dream is a prophecy concerning himself. He's about to learn. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers. By the way, I think those watchers are the angels of heaven. And the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent. Now, what's this whole thing going to happen for? Watch it. Here it is. To the intent that the living may know that the Most High, capital H High, ruleth in the kingdom of men, giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Let me tell you something. If any of us are given any amount of earthly authority or earthly power for any amount of time on this earth, we better understand where it came from and what it ought to be used for. And the minute we forget that, I promise you, God starts talking to the watchers about it. And pretty soon the tree is going to be hewed down. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit, here he is again, of the holy gods is in thee. I love this. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. Can you imagine this? He just stares. He just stares off like in a trance for an hour. Can you imagine everybody on the pins and needles? Some of them begin to whisper. An hour. An hour's a long time when you're standing waiting for someone to finally speak. His thoughts troubled him. King spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dreams or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered, my lord. Wait, what's that? My what? Is that a capital? It's a little L. Kind of like those little G gods he keeps talking about. His little G gods and his little L Lord, and they think that they've got this whole thing and they're running everything and they got power and they got authority and they're going to say who lives and who dies. And my little L Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree which thou sawest, which grew, was strong, whose height reached into the heavens and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair and fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all. Under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O small K king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness, little g greatness, is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy little d dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the small K king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down, destroy it. And by the way, even those watchers and the holy one that was sent, those aren't capitalized. We know those were just messenger boys of the one that is the capital H, capital O, holy one. Whereas the king saw a watcher, a holy one coming down from heaven saying, hew the tree down, destroy it. Let leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let this portion be the beast of the field till 7 times pass over. This is the interpretation, O small K king. And this is the decree of the most capital H high, which has come upon my small L Lord, the small K king. I'm having a good time with this. Amen. This is what God's decided, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times pass over thee till thou knowest that the Most High. By the way, that's who sent me, King. I'm sorry, I'm not a messenger boy of your bunch of little G gods. Let's get that straight right now. I got this information from the capital H Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and give it to whomsoever he will. You know what he's telling him? He said, listen, the only reason you've got anything, the only reason you've got any power is because God's letting you have it. And the day that he's decided he's done with you, he's done with you. And he's about to give you a little lesson, a little 7-year lesson in humility. Whereas they command to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Therefore, O king, little K king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy triquil. And isn't it interesting that repentance is still preached, folks? Repentance and humility still preached. All this came upon the little king Nebuchadnezzar, verse 29, at the end of 12 months. Wait a minute, that means for 12 months the little M magicians of the little G gods, for 12 months they walked around, and maybe they passed old Daniel on the street and said, hey, what all happened about your interpretation, hot shot? 12 months is a long time. You don't think they didn't dig every chance they got to dig? I thought he was going to be a beast. I thought he was going to be turned into an animal. Nothing's changed. If he says a man lives, he lives. If he says a man dies, he dies. He's in complete control for 12 months. But then Nebuchadnezzar, at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the little K kingdom of Babylon. And the little K king spake and said, it's not this great Babylon that,
There's one capital he shouldn't have used. I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my... You know, he's about to find out that there is a capital L, Lord of Lords, and he's just a little sick of this stuff. By the way, that makes me want to keep what comes out of this preacher's mouth very humble. I don't ever want to walk around and take credit for anything that God does. I don't care about whether my name's known. All we need to be concerned about is whether his name is known. Amen. And the king, little K, king, spake and said, is not this great Babylon? Then verse 31, while the word was in the little K king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O little K king, Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee. Sound familiar, king, little K king? Until thou knowest that the most capital H high ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair was grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Can you see it? The end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven and mine understanding returned. But folks, that was 7 years later. 7 years. You think 1 year, you think 12 months was a long time for the little G magicians that served the little G gods? You think that 12 months was a long time when they passed Daniel? For the next 7 years, they didn't want to see Daniel. Okay, the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the most capital H high. Hey, no more talk about this little G God stuff and the spirit of the little H, little G holy gods. No, the plural is gone. All the smaller cases gone. And you know what he said? And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Hey, I didn't understand it, but you know that capital H Lord, he ruled long before I came on the scene, and generations from now he's still going to rule long before, after. You know what? He got a little lesson there about what God allows and what God can quickly take away. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Amen. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? I think it took him 7 years, but he's got it. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor. There it is. Look at there. I was waiting for that capital K king, the king of heaven, all whose works are true, and all his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. And you know what David was doing by inspiration of Scripture? He was just having a Thanksgiving service. And he said, you know what, God, I want to thank you for being you. I want to thank you for being Jehovah and being the self-existent one. I want to thank you for being the capital G God of all the little wannabe gods. And I want to thank you for being the capital L lords of all the little L lords. And then we get down to verse number 26. Let's go back and take a look. We'll wrap it up. What do you think about that? I've got several illustrations. I mean, folks, men have come and men have gone. And you know what? For brief periods of time, people thought, man alive, they're ruling the world. And yet in just a moment's time, they're reduced to nothing. Because when God uses someone, he uses them. When he's done with them, he's done with them. And there's only one, capital L, Lord. He's Lord of Lords. God controls those who wish to control. And then we look at verse 26. Oh, give thanks unto thee. Look at that phrase there. God of heaven. That little title there, if you look back in the Hebrew, is simply the word E-L-L. That word means strength. It means might. It's the word for where we get the title, all
Almighty, the Almighty One. And He's the Almighty God of heaven. And heaven speaks of being high and lifted up. It literally means this: He is the strongest and He is the highest. And I want to say this. I want to thank God tonight for being a God of omnipotent strength. Because, folks, you know what? Way too many times we're weak. But the honest truth is, God doesn't need our strength anyway. He's got plenty of it on His own. The Apostle Paul found that out. He said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'd much rather live my life understanding and embracing my frailties and my shortcomings and my human weakness, because the minute that I think I'm strong, I'm going to find out how weak I really am. And God doesn't need my strength. He's got plenty of it on His own. So when I look up every day to heaven and say, God, I can't, He said, that's okay, I can. And I say, God, I need help. And He said, I've got plenty of that. And Lord, I say to Him, I can't do that. And He said, that's okay, I can. Whew, amen. What are you doing, preacher? We're having a Thanksgiving Eve service. We've been here exactly an hour. And I want to finish by saying this. Thank you, God, for being Jehovah, the self-existent one. Thank you, for God, for being Elohim, the supreme ruler. Thank you, God, for being Adon, the controller and the sovereign one, the capital L, Lord of Lords. And thank you, God, for being El, the mighty God of strength. Because I don't know what waits for us as we turn another calendar page and go into a new year. I don't know what awaits me. I don't know what awaits you. But I promise you, if you have the Lord, you have the self-existent one. You have the supreme ruler. You have the controller and the sovereign one. And you have the almighty God of strength. How in the world and why in the world should we be afraid of what men can do unto us? There's nothing coming on the horizon that me and the Lord can't handle. There's nothing He won't give me the strength when I need it. There's nothing I can't face. I'm not having any trouble facing it as long as I face it with Him. And so you know what? Bring it on. Bring on another year. And whatever comes with it. Because you know what? I serve a God that needs to be thanked. Not because of something He did for me or something He gave me. I serve a God that needs to be thanked every once in a while just because of who He is. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for allowing us to call You Father. You could have insisted that we call You Jehovah or Elohim, and You would have been right to do it. And it's right for us to do it, Adon or El. But then You sent Your Son. And the disciples said to Your Son, Jesus, teach us to pray. And Jesus said something remarkable. He said, now when you pray, you say, Father, Father, Father. Lord, thank You that You are Jehovah, but You're still our Father. Thank You that You're Elohim, but You're still our Father. Thank You that You're Adon, but You're still our Father. Thank You that You're El, but You're still our Father. And I'm so glad that I have a heavenly Father that carries those titles. Lord, I pray, dear God, that when we are afraid, and there's times that we are, that we just nestle into who You are. Lord, when we're weak, we'll just say, Lord, we just need You to be who You are. And Lord, when we sometimes are bullied and overwhelmed and it seems like the devil's winning, we'll remember that legion, a powerful principality, quaked in fear at the Son of God wrapped in human flesh, fell down and begged, beseeched Him, knowing that He was at the mercy of one word, one command. Lord, I pray that we'll walk confidently, dear God, with you, holding tight to Your hand as we go through another holiday season and into another year. Thank You, God, for being God. We pray these things in Your Son's precious name. Amen.